Oh, sorry.
Surat al-Fatiha. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم النصير أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين أما بعد فقد قال الله الحكيم في كتابه المتين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام ميم أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون صلوات على محمد وعلى محمد
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
Does man think that he can get away with saying I believe and not be tested? And tried and put in a trial in fitna. Yuftanun is from the word fitna. And fitna in the original meaning means a trial, a test. And in its secondary meaning, it means sedition or corruption. Here, what we are discussing right now is that a mu'min, if he's a believer, he goes through trials. But there are certain things that we have to know before we start thinking that the trial we are facing is from Allah. There are certain reasons that at first we need to go through in our lives to see whether the trial that we are facing or the fitna that we have is by Allah or is it the doing of our own actions. There are four reasons, and we have mentioned only one so far, of why these misfortunes and these trials occur, these sufferings that we go through. And we mentioned that one of those things, one of those reasons is our own sins. And we are just trying to see what are those sins that a mu'min does, a believer does, that bring about this suffering on us. I mean, every sin has its own effect, but there are certain sins that bring about sufferings and trials and misfortunes. And one hadith that you had heard from Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, in which he has mentioned four of those things that we went through. First is that if you see someone in need and if you ignore him, then Allah is going, or that action itself is going to bring about misfortune. If you see an oppressed person and you don't do anything about it, then this also brings about misfortune and stops the risk of Allah from reaching you. Or if you don't do Amr bil Ma'ruf or Nahi anil Munkar. These four things we had mentioned. Now one more hadith that is there from Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
In which he mentions two things and two more reasons as to why these misfortunes they come upon us. And if these misfortunes they do come and you see that you are going through trials, and if you are doing this sin, then it means that it is your own fault. This is not a trial from Allah. You haven't reached the stage of belief yet. And hence we need to see what are those things, these two things that Imam Ali mentioned. I'm going to mention one of them today and the other one tomorrow. The one thing that here you see that Amirul Mu'mineen had mentioned as to this action that brings about misfortune and suffering and stops the rizq of Allah from reaching you, and it has a direct effect on you and on your being. That sin is something that you see that nowadays many mu'mineen and believers indulge themselves in. And they indulge themselves in this without realizing that this is a sin that brings about misfortunes in your life. And there is no way out of it but that you are going to face trials and sufferings in this world if you commit this. The first one that the Imam mentioned is making fun of believers. Making fun of believers, joking about them, taunting them, is something that is a sin that brings about misfortunes in your life, and also it has it's like an action and reaction type of thing. It has a direct reaction. And you see that whenever someone makes fun of a believer, at first to understand the importance of it, you need to see and understand the position of a believer to understand what that action entails. Who is a believer and what is his relationship with Allah? Allah says in the Quran, Allahu waliyul ladina amanu. Allah is the guardian of those who believe. And Allah says in the Quran again, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ مَوْلَى الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Allah is the protector of those who believe. So one place he used the word wali, the second place he used the word mawla. And both of them have the same meaning in the sense that one is a guardian, the other is a protector, and both do the same thing. In other words, Allah is saying that if you are a believer, if someone is a believer, then Allah is guarding him and Allah is protecting him. And hence when Allah is protecting the believer and he is safeguarding the believer, then if someone wants to discredit a believer, if someone wants to put down a believer, make fun of a believer, taunt a believer, then it's a direct challenge to Allah. It is a direct challenge to Allah that he had said that I'm the one protecting them. And if you are going to make fun of the ones I protect, then obviously nothing is going to happen to the believers because Allah is their protector. If Allah is a protector, then no one can harm them. No one can wrong them. But if someone does do it, it's like, for example, a solid wall is around them. If you throw something at them, what's going to happen? It's going to come back and hit you. And this is where you see that the Messenger of Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa
sallam.
And I want to see what he had said about believers and understand what the position and the rank of a mu'min is. The Messenger had said that Allah has made the believers the example of His greatness and power. Allah is Akbar. Allah is great and Allah is powerful. And Allah has made the believers the example of His greatness, of Allah's greatness and of Allah's power. Now I want you to understand what that means. How does a normal mu'min who might be doing his mistakes, he's not perfect, how does he become the example of Allah's greatness? How does he become the example of Allah's power? Now, where is Allah's power and where are we? His power is ultimate and our weakness is infinite. Look at Allah's power and look at our weakness. We are so weak that if we get a little flu, we're in bed. And we can't get up from bed. And there Allah is, He who does not need sleep or any rest or anything or anyone. He is completely independent of everyone and everything is dependent on Him for existence. So Allah, whose power is ultimate, how can we become the example of Allah? How can a mu'min become the example of Allah's greatness and power? Allah showed this. When He showed the example of His power to the people, it was in the time of Prophet Saleh. And you see, the example that Allah gives in the Quran, we read it. And here we see Allah is giving the example that this is the sign of my power. And He told the people of Saleh that, listen, look at this mountain. Look at this mountain. And you see this big mountain and you admire it for its strength and power. And then Allah said, now watch my power. And He made a she-camel come out of that mountain. That mountain was there and He made a camel come out of it. A camel came out of the mountain, meaning it wasn't living there. It came from the mountain. And they looked at it in amazement. It was a miracle from Allah. They showed it, the power of Allah. And this, Allah said, this camel is the example of Allah's power. See what He can do. He has made a camel come out of the mountain. And people admired that and called that a miracle. But my brothers and sisters, I want you to think, which is a greater example of Allah's power? That camel that came from the mountain, or that mu'min who came from the darkness of ignorance? My friend, understand this. Allah, He says that this believer is the example of my power. Why? Because this believer was in one time in the darkness of ignorance, where there was no hope for him to come out, in the scum of the earth, and I brought him out of there. Then hence this moment, just believing in me is a sign that I am powerful. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala. And hence when a mu'min is there, at that level, when you see it, that he is the example of Allah's power, then Rasulullah is saying that anyone who taunts a believer, then he's challenging the command of Allah and rejecting the command of Allah. Those who taunt a believer or make fun of a believer, you see, they are challenging and they are rejecting the authority of Allah. That Allah is their guardian, Allah is their protector, and these are the example of Allah's power. That shaitan had made the whole society fall into darkness, but it's Allah's guidance that brings about these people to Iman. You see, this is Allah's power. You want to see a living miracle? Look at those people who come from darkness and they accept Islam and become mu'min. This is an example of the living. working miracle of Allah and His power and His might. This is that example. And hence, those who make fun of believers. Now you see, there was a person when the battle of Tabuk was one of the battle that was fought in the time of the Prophet. And as they were getting ready for the battle, so you see the messenger said that he made an announcement to the people for donations. He made an announcement to the people for donations and said that in order to get ready for the battle, we need donations from the people. And so everyone started bringing their donations. Everyone wanted to give something that they had. There was one person by the name of Abu Aqil Ansari. He came forward, and when he heard the announcement of donation and that Rasulullah is asking for donation, you know, my friends, understand this, that the Messenger of Allah is asking for donations. So, you know that your donation, right, is going in the right place. Right? You can have complete certainty in that. So, the Abu Aqil Ansari, when he heard that the Messenger is asking for donation, he didn't have money. And so what he did is that he worked 2 days. Day and night, he worked 2 days to get whatever he can, and he got 4 pounds of dates. 4 pounds of dates. And he said that half of this is the right of my household, and he gave it to his family. The other half he brought to the collection and said, "This is from me. I worked 2 days for this, and this is from me." He gave it. And others gave larger amounts. So the hypocrites who were there, and those people who had the signs of hypocrites, the hypocrisy in them, they said that, look at him. Right. They said, look at him. He wants to be known as generous. Right? He wants to be known as generous. And this guy worked 2 days to bring whatever he had. And he said that, see, this guy wants to be known as someone who is a giving person, a generous person. Look at him. He's bringing 2 pounds of dates. Right. He's bringing 2 pounds of dates, and he wants to be in the list of those people who donated. In the list you had big people, you know, people who gave a lot of money. You had people who gave less money. And they made fun of the people who gave less money, and they also didn't leave the people who gave a lot of money. They said, look at them. They are just giving a lot because they want to show off. They want to show off. That's why they're giving. You know. They just want to show off. Otherwise, we are the ones who sit with the Prophet. You see? And hence what happened is that when these people, they came out, they started joking about them. And right after that, Allah revealed this ayat. He says, الَّذِينَ يَلْمِذُونَ الْمُتَوَّئِينَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فِي الصَّدَقَاتِ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَجِدُونَ إِلَّا جُهْدَهُمْ. He said that those people who give freely in the way of Allah, meaning they give a lot, and those people who give to the extent that they can give. They only gave 2 pounds of dates, but they gave to the extent that they can give. He said that those people who make fun of them and who taunt them, he said those people who are going to taunt them, Allah is going to pay them back. He's going to pay them back their taunting with a painful chastisement. Now, Allah, how are you going to paint them back? Because here you have people who are doing good deeds, right? They're doing good deeds, they're helping out, they're, you know, whatever they can give. $1 they give, you know. We pass around the bucket, someone gives a dollar. He gives a dollar, and someone gives 500. Alhamdulillah. They're giving. And hence, when they are giving, so now what happens is that here you have some people who are saying that, look at these guys. Look at these guys, they think that they're big. Or that they want to be big. Right? So those who give a lot, they think, oh, you see, he thinks he's big, you know, because he's doing this. Or those who cannot give a lot, so they give a little, they're saying that these people, they don't, they want to be big, and they want to be in the list of these rich people. Right? So they are making fun, and they make fun of everything. This is one example that is being given here, but they make fun of anything, of a believer. Anything that has to do with a believer. You see that, you know, for example, those who are mu'min, they pray, you'll see that those people who don't pray, they'll be like, look at these people always praying. Look at these people always praying. Look at these, they're always in the masjid. They have nothing else to do. They have nothing else to do. They're always in the masjid. Now those who are in the masjid, they are there to pray, to do ibadah, to do worship, right? Now those who don't come, they're making fun of them, you know, they have nothing else to do, that's why they are there. We have a lot of things to do. You know, we have a life and we have to lead our lives. And look at these people, they are just in the masjid all the time. As if they don't have to pay bills, right? They have nothing to do and that's why they're in the masjid. Now, understand this. This joking happens all the time. So what happens to these people who are making fun? What happens to these people who are joking with believers? What is the end result of these people? So my friends, here where you see, the messenger had explained. He didn't end it at that. He said, listen, this is what will happen. And he said, you know, these people, when they will be raised in the day of judgment, those who used to make fun, when they will be raised on the day of judgment, Allah is going to tell the angels, open the door of heaven for them. And the door of heaven will open and Allah will say, go in. And they will run towards the door and as they reach the door, it will be shut. And then Allah will open another door and say, run over there. And they will run over there and that will be shut. And then they will be running from here to there. And they will not be able to get in because every time they get to the door, it will be closed on them. The same way that they made fun of Allah's believers, Allah is going to make fun of them before He puts them in hell. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Is he? These examples are there for us to understand, my friends. And this could happen in many ways. And I'm giving these ayat and hadiths to you so that you know from the verses of the Quran how Allah has mentioned this. He's going to play around with those people who used to, you know, make fun of believers. And He used to do that just to pay them back for what they have done. Right? And these people, before they go to hell, they'll become hopeless. They'll be so hopeless that now when it's said, okay, the door's open there, go there, they'll be like, no. And they'll be like, no. And we know it's going to close. Right? And when they lose hope of entering heaven, then they will be sent to hell. Right? Then they will be sent to hell. Right? You see, understand this. This is what happens when a person makes fun of another believer. Right? Allah gave that respect and honor to believers for that. You know, there was a person by the name of Qais ibn Thabit. Two incidents happened at the same time. And Allah had revealed this verse for these two incidents that happened at the same time. Qais ibn Thabit was a person who was hard of hearing. I mean, he couldn't hear well. So whenever he used to come to the majlis, he would always be right next to the Prophet so he can hear clearly. And everyone would just allow him to go there. Everyone would just allow him to go there. So he'd go there, you know, to him and close, so he can hear because he was almost deaf. So what happened is that when one day when he was late, he saw that the crowd is already there, the majlis is going on, and in those days, you know, the way of the majlis of the Prophet that he had taught and the Imam that he had taught, that wherever the Prophet used to sit, and this is the habit of believers, wherever the Prophet used to sit, you see that everyone will start sitting from where he is and go backwards. Right? And hence, this was the way of sitting. That, for example, they will sit right around where he is, and then from there they'll start, anyone who comes in will sit right behind them and go backwards. Right? Then obviously when, for example, Islam became the religion of emperors and kings, you know, then they had a court. They used to sit on the walls, you know, and couches and all that. Right? But then at the time of the Prophet, you see that they used to come right to the Prophet and they sit and go backwards. This is how they used to sit. And hence, you know, that would be the way of the gathering. And hence, this person, when he walked in that gathering, he saw that he's late, and obviously he was trying to make his way in. And, you know, those people were letting him go, you know, until he got to the last line, one line before the Prophet, and he was like pushing to get in. But the person in there, right, he said, have a seat, you know. I mean, you're right here, have a seat now. So, you know, he was upset and he sat down. Now after the speech was over, so he asked that person who stopped him. He said, who are you? He says, you know, my name is so-and-so. He said, who's your mother? He said, you know, mother is so-and-so. So now what happened is that before Islam, before he accepted Islam and before this, right, his mother was of loose morals. So he passed a comment about his mother. So you are the son of that mother. This guy was deaf. He told the other person who was there that, you know, so you are the son of that mother who used to fool around, let's say. You know, and that person was so ashamed of his history that he put his head down. You know, he was ashamed of his, you know, past, you know, where he came from. So he put his head down. So this one incident happened, and another incident happened at the same time. Another incident happened at the same time. And that incident was that one of the wives of the Prophet, who was used to joking around with other wives, you know, and she used to make jokes of other wives. She made a joke about one of the wives of the Prophet by the name of Umm Salama. Umm Salama had a belt, you know, they used to tie the belt around their thing, you know, and it was loose, it would hang. And so she made the comment that she looks like a dog with a tongue that's hanging out. Right, to make fun of this wife of the Prophet. So these two incidents happened. When these two incidents happened, then Allah revealed this verse in Surah Hujurat, and it says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu la yasqar qawmun min qawmin asa an yakuna khayran minhum. And then he mentions that, you know, O men, do not make fun of others. Maybe the ones you're making fun of are better than you. Right? Maybe they're much better than you are. So don't make fun of them. And then he doesn't stop there. He says, Wala, he says, you know, Wala nisa min nisa asa an yakuna khayran minhunna. And the woman also should not make fun of women. Because these two incidents happened. One that relates to men, the other that relates to women. So he wanted to say to both of these, men and women, that you should not make fun of the others. You don't know if they are better than you are. Right? You don't know what is in their heart and what is the reality and what is their position before Allah. This is the reason that when you see a believer who says he's a believer, you should not make fun of him. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Now, why is it that we should make all of believers? The first thing, my brothers, is this. Understand this. Right? The first thing is this. That making fun of believers is the sign of hypocrites. Allah mentions in the Quran. He mentions in the Quran that those who are hypocrites, they're the ones who make fun of believers when they get out of their presence. They are making jokes about them. Right? They're making jokes about them. They're making fun of the believers. So what happens with those people? Allah mentions them and says that they are hypocrites. That these are hypocrites who make fun of believers. So now if we also are doing the same thing, then it means we have the same sign that a hypocrite has. We have the same sign that a hypocrite has when we start making fun of mu'mini. When we start making fun of believers. My friends, understand this is so hard. Because this is a habit that we have, and you see how many people would make fun of little things and they don't even know that they're doing it. A young person who is very proud of his handsomeness, he makes fun of an old person. Oh, look at him and look at his features. And you know what happens? When you make fun of someone, and a mu'min, especially a believer, then Allah will repay you in the same thing that you made fun of him with. Like for example, if you made fun of someone because he has flu, Allah will also give you flu. Right? And he will also make others laugh at you. If you made fun of someone for having some sort of a feature in his face, then Allah will also put you through the same fitna and trial and give you the same thing. This is what happens. How many are us who are young and they look at old people and say, hey, look at this person, he can't even walk straight. You know what will happen to them? They don't realize that soon that age is going to come to them also. Soon that time is going to come to them also. You see a person who cannot hold his urine because he's too old. And you see, look at them. Look at him. They all laugh. Look at him. He can't even hold his urine. Well, you know what? Because you made fun of him, you are going to have the same problem now. And you can get this in your mind that it is going to happen to you also in the same way. So now, if you do not want that problem in your life, then do not make fun of that in other people. This is how Islam is trying to tell us, and Allah is trying to let us know this. And the third thing, my friends, the reason is, we have a hadith from Imam Baqir alayhi salatu wa salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
We have a hadith from him, he says that those who make fun of a believer, taunt a believer, the one thing that he will face for sure is that Allah is going to give him a terrible death. This is one thing that will happen to people who make fun of believers, for sure. Allah will give him a horrible death. Now, what is the meaning of this horrible death? What is a horrible death? You see, there are certain things this is classified as according to hadith. It has been mentioned in different places. I'm trying to put it together for you. You know, if someone dies burning in a fire, it is called a horrible death. In hadith. If someone dies in the sea drowning, then it's called a horrible death. If someone dies in an earthquake where the house is collapsed on him, it's called a horrible death. If someone dies by being eaten by a wild animal, it's called a horrible death. You see, these things are called horrible deaths in the words of hadith. If you don't want that death, then you have to make sure that you do not make fun of believers. A death that is horrible. And the reason that it's horrible, my friend, the secret is, the reason why it's called horrible is because it is a death where there is no time for repentance.
Oh.
See, the worst death, the most horrible death is when there is no chance for repentance. If someone knows that he's dying, he has a disease, he dies slowly, then he has chance to repent. And he goes through the sickness and hardships. But when it comes immediately, when it comes all of a sudden, then you see there's no chance to repent to Allah. And this is called a horrible death. Because the chance is not even there to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And hence we must realize that this is the extent to which Allah has said, and the Imams have said, and Ahlul Bayt have said, that if you do not want these misfortunes to come on you, this is one of the reasons that it happens. This is one of the reasons that it happens. And then you see that that Imam who was really, you know, of the Imams, you see that the one Imam who was in jail the most is Imam Musa Kadhim alayhi salam. And he, you know, the fact that, you know, his life was mostly spent in jail, in hardships. When he went for Hajj one time, he went to the house of Allah. And you know, those who have been to the house of Allah know the significance of Allah's house. I mean, this is the focal point. You know, this is the place where, you know, every mu'min desires to go to. He prays in that direction. And he wishes that one day I can go and hear that place. That point, that center. And hence, here the Imam, he came to the house. As he came to the house after he did his ziyarats, he held the cloth of the Kaaba. He held the cloth of the Kaaba. And mentioned, how great is your right? Your haq on us, how great is your right? He mentioned that, this house, your house, this is the house of Allah. How great is your right? And everyone was there listening to it. Everyone is there listening to it. I said, yes, how great is the right of this Kaaba? That's right. But then he says, wallahi, but I swear by Allah. I swear by Allah, the right of a believer is more than yours. So the right of a mu'min is more than yours. Now they heard that part and they said, well, we agree to that, but what this? What is this? That the right of a mu'min is more than the house? He said, understand this, you know. That, you know, it is the mu'min, it is iman that is more precious to Allah. The house is just a building. The house is just a building. So what is Allah going to prefer? Some stones or those hearts that have turned towards Allah? That's why Imam Ali said that the only place Allah could be found is in the hearts of believers. This is the reason, my friends, and hence understand that. And just like you should respect a believer and you should not make fun of believers, just like that, you should not make fun of the blessings of Allah. Right? And I want to go through this fast. Just understand that. One, I explained about a mu'min. Do not make fun of a mu'min that brings down these hardships. The other thing is the blessings of Allah. Do not make fun of the blessings of Allah that He has given you. But anything that could happen. For example, the food that we have. You look at the food and say, what kind of food is this? Right? This is making fun of the blessing of Allah. Right? And when you do that, then you know, it is natural and automatic that misfortunes are going to come on you. You know, there was a nation once that Allah had blessed them a lot with wheat, with the grain of wheat. And you know, in that time, the whole economy was run on wheat, not on gold. Everything was done on wheat. If everyone had wheat, they had gold. It, it was like gold, that's it. Their economy is better than others. This nation had a lot of wheat, and so much wheat that the neighboring nations that were poor, they came to them and asked them, they listen, we don't want your share. We don't even want, let's say, half and half. You take half, we take half. You know, we are not asking for that. We are not even asking for the extra. You know what we are asking for? We are asking for that which you throw away. What you throw away, let us have that. We are so hungry. Our children are hungry. You know, our children are hungry. At least let us have that. Understand this. If you get this example right, and I want you to know this example and the relevance of this example. This nation, you know, this nation Allah has blessed a lot. And other nations are asking for help. That their children are dying of hunger and they're asking for help. But you see that this nation does not want to give. And they're saying, don't even give your share. Eat your fill. Everything. What you throw away in the garbage, let us take it. Let us take that much. And you know what? They refuse to give. So no, we cannot give. We would rather throw it away and let it burn so that the value of that stays high. Right? Understand this. We will rather have that than do this. And you know what? They use that wheat. The wheat, they used the wheat. You know what they used it for? They had so much wheat that they used it to make bathroom tissues with. They used to use it for bathroom tissues. They used to make the bread and they use it to clean themselves and throw away the bread. You see that? How much they had, and they had no worries, and they used to make fun of this blessing of Allah. Allah gave them blessing, right? So now what happened? Now Allah, again, wants us to learn from this, so that we understand. Anyone who does this, any nation that does this, then Allah now made the situation such for them, that the very bread they used as bathroom tissues, they were forced to go and look for it and eat it. Look at that, my friend. Understand this. When you make fun of the blessings of Allah, this is what happens. This is what happens. That when you joke with that blessing. And hence, two things, my friends, understand this. Two things. Mu'min, you should not make fun of. Blessings, you should not make fun of. Right? Both of these things. Now I want you to understand this. I explained to you how great a mu'min is. Why is Imam Kazim holding the drape of the Kaaba and telling the people that the right of a mu'min is more than the Kaaba? And all the people are listening. This is Hajj. Everyone is watching him and listening to him. And they're all wondering, what does he want to get across? My friend, understand this. What does he want to get across? That he's saying that the right of a mu'min is more than the Kaaba itself. If people can understand that a mu'min is greater than the Kaaba, then at least they will understand what is the position of Amir al-Mu'mineen.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Understand whose position is higher, mu'min or Amir al-Mu'mineen? If you think that making fun of a mu'min has this much sufferings behind it and calamities behind it, what do you think of making fun of Amir al-Mu'mineen? My friend, understand this. Look at why. Why is it that way? And then Allah gives the example of blessing. And then he counts the blessing. When you count the blessings, then Allah says that on the day of judgment, you will be asked about the great blessing. The greatest of all blessing. What was that greatest blessing? When people will see, well, what about that greatest blessing? He will say, يُسْأَلُونَكَ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. I will ask, on that day they will be asked about that great blessing. The greatest of all blessing that is going to be there. Then they will ask, what is that great blessing? He says, this is the wilayat of Ahlul Bayt.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
my friends, understand, how is it that when a mu'min and the blessing of Allah, we are told to respect and do not make fun of, then you see, when it comes to Amirul Mu'mineen, and when it comes to the greatest blessing, then what should be our attitude regarding that? What should be our attitude regarding that? And this is where you see that those people who came forward, you know, I mean, the drama that was going on in Karbala was in such a way that the people, you know, it wasn't that the army was there and they're just waiting for Hussein to do something. You know, everyone who would have the chance, they would come and make a joke about the Imam. They would make joke about the Imam. They would taunt him. He says, why are you praying? Why are you praying? What are you praying for? You know, your prayer is not accepted. Your prayer is not accepted. You know, what are you praying for? I mean, just imagine if someone comes to you and says that. You know, what are you praying for? Your prayer is not accepted. You're going to hell anyway. And how would you feel? And imagine, this is the grandson of the Prophet. Imam Hussein is praying, and here you see that these people are telling him, why are you praying? What are you praying for? And you know what? Imam Hussein is not going to reply to these people. It was the companions who came forward and replied. You know, Hur came forward and said, what, you think that your prayer are going to be accepted and the prayer of the grandson of the Prophet, because of whom you became Muslim, is not going to be accepted?
No.
You know, he came forward to shut them up. Habib ibn Mazahib came forward to shut them up.
No.
You know, I mean, these are the people who are trying to reply back. The Imam's not going to reply back because it's about him. He's not going to go forward and say, you know, my prayers are accepted or not. He doesn't need to. Allah has already mentioned his praise. Rasulullah has already mentioned his praise. Imam Hussein doesn't need to do that. It is a job of believers to do it. When the Imam is in problem, when the Imam is being made fun of, it is the job of the followers to do that. That they need to come forward and defend their Imam, defend their leader. You know, I mean, realize this, my friends, this is everywhere. If you see that your leader is being made a joke of, then it's your job. That he's not going to defend himself, because he knows that he has the authority from Allah. He doesn't matter. It's your job to defend the authority of Allah. You are the believer. If Allah gave a believer so much respect and so much honor, at least this is how much he should pay back with. Defend your deen. Defend your religion. Defend your imam. Defend your leader. If someone talks about him badly, you shut them up.
Yes.
Don't wait for the imam to shut them up. Because the imam has already received that authority. He is the Imam. He doesn't need to do that. You are the one. This is a trial on you, not on him.
Allah.
So my friends, when we look at the creation of Allah, really, in this ongoing process, every time you see the creation is an ongoing creation. And in this creation you see that sometimes, and rare, it's very rare, sometimes something is created that in its existence and in its being is so rare and so unique that it catches the attention of everyone. Really. Everything that Allah has created is unique. But there are certain things that Allah creates, and there are certain things you see that in the whole idea of creation, You see that something is created that is so unique, the example is so unique that it just catches your eyes and it enamors you. Just enchants you. You know, and when you look at this, these unique creations, there's not a lot of them. And one is just a creation. The other thing is that when you see a creation doing something unique, that really words cannot describe it. It is an epic movement. It is something that is beyond words. It's something that you cannot even write in stories, even if you try to make them up. An example that is so unique that it just happened out of the blue. A creation that is unique and an example that is unique. You know, of all the creation you see, some creatures are unique and some things they do are so unique that they make them unique. And one of those unique person was Hur.
Yeah.
One of those unique persons was Hur, really. My friend, understand this. He says, this is Hur. If you look at just his being and what he was, where he was, where he came to. On one hand, you see that him being on the side of batil and falsehood. Not just being on the side of batil, but being their leader. He is the commander of their army. He's not just an ordinary person, you know, sees this is wrong, he's going away. This is the commander of the army. He goes and you see him. And on one side, you see that he has his orders. On the other side, he sees that, okay, this is someone who is respected and he knows his stand and he knows his position. And it is known because you see that when he stopped Imam Hussein wanted him, you know, he told Hur, right? He told Hur that, you know, may your mother be deprived of you. You know, he took the name of his mother. He took the name of his mother, you know, obviously Hur felt insulted and offended. You know, and he wanted to say something back, but he stopped himself. Right? He wanted to say something back, he stopped himself and he said, wait, if it was anyone else other than you, I would have said something. But in your case, I can't say anything because your mother is Fatima. You see, now we understand why Imam Hussein said that, just to make him understand who is the mother of Hussein. Understand this. And this Hur, you know, on one hand, he is the commander of the army. And the choice that he makes, and it's all about this choice that he made. A free will, he did not have to go there. All the odds were that he stays there. Everything was with him. He stays there. Nothing would have happened. I mean, he had everything. There was nothing to be said there. But you see, a choice that he made this person so unique that truly truth and falsehood became distinct through his walking of only 200 yards. He just walked 200 yards on the day of Karbala, but in that 200 yards he traveled between evil and good. He traveled between hell and heaven. You see, hell is not, heaven is not too far away. You know, heaven is not too far away. The only thing that is far away, see how Hur made that journey. See how Hur made that journey, and he made everyone, the whole humanity, he gave an example for the whole of humanity that, listen, it is not hard to be with the truth. It is not hard to go to heaven. There just needs to be that one choice that you have to make. That one choice that you have to make. And Hur was that person that really, when this whole journey took place, and I want you to see this, how this journey happened. A commander of the army who had 1,000 soldiers under him, who forced Imam Hussein to come to this land. And when he saw that Imam Hussein is here, he did not want war. Obviously, he did not want fighting or anything. He wanted a peaceful solution. When the armies came and Umar ibn Sa'd came, and he saw that there is, you know, that the army is building up and this is heading towards war. So you see that this person, Hur, on the night of Ashura, really, he waited till the night of Ashura. It is said that Imam Hussein asked for the night of Ashura for ibadat, for worship. You know, he asked for this night for worship because the battle was going to take place on the night. He sent Abbas and said, Abbas, I want you to go and ask them for one night so that I can pray to Allah and I can do ibadat to Allah. He asked for that night so that he can do worship and ibadat to Allah. But you know what I say? That he wanted that one night so that Hur can make his decision. Maybe because he wanted to make sure that the bouquet of flowers that he gives to Allah is complete. And it won't be complete without Hur. And he gave that. And he waited the whole night. They waited. And Hur also on the other side is more impatient than Imam Hussein. He's walking around the night. He couldn't sleep. He couldn't sleep and he didn't know how to deal with this situation. And he wanted to see what he can do. So when morning came, he went to Umar ibn Sa'd. He says, Are you serious about fighting this man? Are you serious about a battle? Do you think that the battle will take place? Umar ibn Sa'd said that, yes. I am going to say that such a battle will take place that the flesh is going to be torn from its bones. I will tear their flesh from their bones. That's how much I am going to hurt them. That's how much I am going to fight with them. When Hur heard that, so he said, so is that your final decision? He said, yes, this is my final decision. Then he says, then yes, now is my turn to make my choice. I'm telling you that I'm leaving. I'm leaving and I'm going towards Hussein. My friends, that was the choice of Hur. He had all the things that he needed in this world here, but he made that choice. And when he made that choice, one of his companions came to him and asked him, Hur, what is happening? Why are you so concerned? He said, Hur was saying, you know, I'm making a decision between heaven and hell. Oh, yeah. I'm deciding between heaven and hell. Should I go to heaven or should I go to hell? He says, what do you mean? He said, if I stay here, I have the dunya. I don't need anything else. You cannot give me more money. You cannot give me more pleasures. You cannot give me more authority. I have more than anyone. But I know that if I stay here, I have the dunya, but I will never have that heaven whose master is Hussein. So, I'm going forward. I'm going forward. And he left the camp of Yazid and traveled to the camp of Hussein. My friend, in this one short journey, you see the creation of Hur was complete. That unique creation of Hur was complete. That height that Hur was going to reach was complete. And you see that how Hussein had cure. If you say that Jesus cures the sick and raises the dead from raises the dead to living, you see how Hussein made someone who was dead and gave them life in Karbala. Come and see the creation of Hur. Come and see the creation of Hur. How Hussein molded Hur and made a living person out of him. Oh. But you see, what happened is that when Hur came and when Hur was walking, he left with certainty when he left Yazid. But when he was walking towards Hussein, now his feet started to shake and his hands became uncertain. He realized that he is the cause of Hussein's death. He is the cause of Hussein's predicament. And so he took his shoes out, tied up the strings and put it around his neck. This was a sign to show that he is in remorse and he's regretting. He put a blindfold around his eyes. He says, I cannot see this. He told the servant to take him. The servant was taking him. And then as they heard some noises, he said, what are those noises that is said? His servant listened carefully and he said, that is the children of Hussein saying, Alatash, Alatash. We are dying of thirst. We are dying of thirst. They are singing. When Hur heard that, his head banged at the head of the horse. He said, how can I go home like this? And then as they were moving forward, you see, his servant said, that master, someone is coming towards it. Hur said, who is it? Look at him, who is it? And he said, that Abul Fazl al-Abbas, the brother of Hussein, is coming towards us. When he heard Abbas's name, he now was flinching and now he was saying, what is it? Then when Abbas came and said, that my master is waiting for you. He has sent me to greet you, Hur. And he has been waiting for you. He came forward. He went forward. Now he said, I can't take this anymore. When now his servant said, Master, now Hussein himself is coming towards you. When he said that, then Hur couldn't take it. He fell off the horse. He fell off the horse. He was on his knees. And he was crawling towards Hussein. Hussein came up to her and said, Hur, stand up, Hur. Hur said, Master, I want you to forgive me. I brought you to this predicament. Please forgive me for what I have done. Hussein said, I have forgiven you and Allah has also forgiven you. Stand up, Hur. And then when Hur stood up in front of Hussein, Hussein took the blindfold out of Hur and he took in the eyes of Hur. Hussein and Hur's eyes were looking downwards and said, Hur, you know, how can I say this? Hur, you know, I'm ashamed, Hur. When you came to me as an enemy, I offered you water. You came to me as a guest. I cannot even give you water. May Allah bless you all. You know, when Hur now, he couldn't handle it. Now he broke down crying. He said, Master, I will not let myself forgive me. I will not forgive myself until you let me go in the battlefield. Let me face the enemy. Let me go there and challenge them. Hussein said, if Hur said what you want, go. So now Hur went forward. He went forward. Now he meets the army. And how unique is the situation. The commander of their army is now challenging their army. And he's telling them, you want to fight the grandson of the Prophet. You want to fight him. You want to fight him. You want him. Now you have to go through me in order to get to him. His soldiers looked at him. Everyone in the army is looking at her. And that's when Umar ibn Sa'd said, he fired the first arrow and said, be witness that I am the one who has started this war. And he shot the first arrow. When Hur went to fight, he went there and bravely fought. But now he fought for the first time. His sword came out of his sheath for the truth. His hands were raised for the truth for the first time in his life. Now he raised the hands and the sword for Hussein. And now he went with so much certainty, he came forward and started fighting. And when they started fighting and they did whatever they did, now Hur came to one situation that now he couldn't take it anymore. So many people attacked him at one time. And he was injured in so many places. But a time came when he fell off the horse. When he fell off the horse, he said his last salam to Imam Hussein. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. When Hur fell off the horse, Imam Hussein raised towards Hur. He went towards Hur. And as he's on the ground, Hur was on the ground. There was blood in his eyes. Hussein, he reached there. And he put the head of Hur on his lap. And he took his handkerchief that his mother Fatima had made for him. He tore, he hooked up. His head was injured. There was a gash on his head and the blood was coming up. He looked at that gash on the head and he tied the head. He tied his head with the handkerchief. And then he opened his eyes. Hur looked at Hussein. And in that last breath that he had, what can he say to Hussein? He said, Hussein, my master, are you pleased with what I have done? Are you pleased with what I have done? Are you happy with me? I don't have anything more to give to you. If I had more, I would fight for you. If I had another life, I would give it for you. I've made this choice in my life. Now no one can take this away from me. Now I'm with you, but I want you to be happy with me. Hussein looked at her and said, your mother has named you with the truth. You are free in this dunya and in the hereafter. This is how a whore in a matter of few hours went from being a slave to a free man, and he became a free man by being the slave of Hussein. سيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون باطل حسين
Y'all say, y'all say, y'all say, y'all say, y'all say, y'all say.